Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to heaven and close your eyes and just thank Him. Thank Him for refreshing. Thank Him for freedom. Thank Him for deliverance. Thank Him for healing. Thank Him for provision. Thank Him for everything that He's done and getting ready to do so that we maintain an attitude of gratitude no matter what we're going through. We thank You, Lord. You said, count it all joy as we go through trials and tribulations. And we count it joy, Lord, because we're going through them, not getting stuck. And in this going through, You're teaching us. It's called a school of hard knocks. Hallelujah. I wasn't supposed to be back today, but not my will, His will. God completed what He needed to do and cut me loose. But I had a very powerful time. And I can tell you that things are moving rapidly. Rapidly. We saw the mighty hand of God move. We saw clouds and storms move as we prayed them to move. We saw people get saved, get ministered to. And we built good friends in the kingdom. You know, I can only tell you that in that scripture that says, lean not on your own understanding. You know, it's when we begin to lean on our own understanding. Is everybody cool? Hallelujah. Too loud. When we lean on our own understanding, we fall. We falter. We have an expectation when we lean on our own understanding. And when it doesn't come to pass, there's discouragement. And I went because I was supposed to go, where I was going, with no understanding. I just knew I was supposed to go. Didn't know what was going to happen or how it was going to happen or what was going to happen. But God knew. And there's something that when you go and your everyday walk with the Lord, and I'm not saying you don't get understanding. We're to get understanding according to kingdom principles, integrity, and things to that degree. But there's that area where, you know, we just don't understand everything God is doing because He's not released it to us. Amen? And because He's not released it to us doesn't mean that we change direction. It doesn't mean that we change course. We stay on course. Because it means there's something, you know, when you're not hearing from God in a certain area and you're not sure, it's because you don't need to hear. Hello. And there's a time when you begin to try to hear so badly that you'll hear anything. And it takes you off course. Because that hearing now becomes a push, not a lead. And when there's a push, you can be sure that the enemy's involved. And what he's doing is pushing you out of God's line, out of God's will. But where there's a lead, there is not a need to understand everything, but there is a need to be disciplined, consistent, and alert. That's all he's asking for. Just be alert. You know, one of the things that I realize more and more is what's being lost, God is trying to restore. He's the God of restoration. And it's when we try to restore something without His hand that it just makes it worse. It's like putting a model together with temporary glue. Eventually it's going to collapse. You know, it may look good and be pretty for a couple of days and all of a sudden, poof, poof. What God restores, then He provides to maintain the restoration. And it's that area that we have to constantly trust, rest, and wait. But in that trusting, resting, and waiting, we're to be vigilant, consistent, and sober or alert so we don't miss what's happening. So many times we're trying to figure something out which actually moves us away from being vigilant and sober. And we miss what God is trying to tell us. Or we miss the meeting we were supposed to be at. Is everybody okay? In Proverbs 29, hallelujah, in verse 18, would you read it with me, please? Is everybody there? Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. In other words, where there's no revelation, revelation does something very powerful. What it does is it brings almighty reverence. Everyone say almighty reverence. Where there is no revelation. See, when there's revelation, that revelation that comes brings what we call the fear of the Lord. And what it does is it, because that word fear, first enter almighty reverence. Has everybody got it? Fear, F-E-A-R. First enter almighty reverence. That he's trying to put us into a place where there's something that we're to do first. We're to maintain the fear of the Lord. And so many times, I'm seeing so much where individuals, not only of the kingdom, but of course of the law, and there is lost fear right now. And that's one of the things that the Lord is trying to restore, is the reverence, honor, and respect to Him. Because when there's reverence and honor and respect to the Lord, there's restraints. So everybody got it? There's restraints. Listen, if Jesus was walking with you all the time in front of you, hand to hand, there are things that you would not say and things you would not do. Amen? There's just things that we wouldn't do. But He wants us to get us to that place where the fear of the Lord is always present with me and you. Always. Because He really is always there. He really is always walking with you hand to hand. He really is always before you and behind you. He really does see everything. He really does know every one of your thoughts. He really does know every one of your words. He really does catch every one of your cries. He really knows every number of hairs and how many times you blink a day. He knows it all. But what He's trying to do is to get us to know that we know He knows it all. Amen. And there is lost fear. Lost fear is living outside of salvation's truth. L-O-S-T. Living outside of salvation's truth. And what truth is it? First, enter almighty reverence. So when there is no revelation which brings the fear of the Lord, people cast off restraints. Restraints of what? Restraining wickedness. Restraining evil. Restraining the flesh. Restraining selfish desires, restraining these things where there's no revelation. And there must be a revelation of the fear of the Lord. And there is widespread lost fear in this country and even in the body of Christ. People are doing things with no honor or respect to the Lord, like it's just okay. And Jeremiah chapter 2. In verse 19, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19, would you read it with me? What does it say? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have what? Forsaken the Lord your God. And the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. So we understand something, that when there is lost fear, there's also forsakenness. When there is lost fear, there's forsakenness. You know, there's a difference in belief. You know, the Bible says that the demons believe, but they don't follow, do they? But you and I, who are believers, are to follow, aren't we? Because if you're not a follower, then you're a forsaker. And if you're a forsaker, you have lost fear of God. See, we worship because we reverence Him. You can't worship the Lord without the fear of the Lord. Has everybody got it? Unless the reverence and honor and respect is manifesting in you through revelation, you can't worship Him. You just, it's just religious to you. Revelation must come. Why? Because so you can restrain the evil that prevents you from worshiping Him. From prevents you from obeying Him. Has everybody got this? Forsaken. What do they have forsaken? Because they haven't first entered almighty reverence, have they? Listen. What people do behind closed doors, God sees. We're either earning His trust or losing it. And if you're doing things that are behind closed doors that you wouldn't do in front of doors, no, there are certain things. Hello. I'm not going to go there, but anyways. I'm certainly not going to open my house to whatever. But I'm talking about the Lord. Then you've got to ask yourself, have I lost fear of God? if I lost the reverence, the honor and respect of who He is? Have I lost it? Have I lost the thing, the area of what He has done for me already? Have I trampled it? I'm telling you, the world doesn't carry the fear of the Lord. It's lost fear. This country has lost the fear of the Lord because they're not first entering almighty reverence. There are things that He requires that we put first. In Job 4, Job chapter 4, well, hallelujah. In verse 6, would you look there, please? Read this with me. Is it not your what? Your reverence, is not your reverence your what? Confidence. In other words, your reverence to who? The Lord. That's your confidence. And the integrity of your ways, your what? Hope. Because where there's reverence to the Lord, there's integrity. Without the fear of the Lord, without the reverence of the Lord, there is no integrity. You won't maintain it. Why? Because only restraints maintain integrity. And this is what is being lost right now. It's being lost in the body of Christ. It's lost in this country. People just do and say whatever they just feel like. And that is not Christ's doctrine. That's the doctrine of the devil. Do what thy feel like. Proverbs 1. Lost fear. Living outside of salvation's truth. What truth is there? First enter almighty reverence. Proverbs chapter 1. Is everybody there? Chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Hallelujah. Let's speak this together, please. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Knowledge. Now, the Bible says in Hosea 4, 6, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Hello? Why are they destroyed for lack of knowledge? Because they also have what? No fear of the Lord. So they're willing to accept intellectual knowledge, which thinks that makes them somebody, but reject knowledge of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Psalm 111. In verse 10. Let's speak it. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Wisdom is what tells you what to do. You know, this wisdom you can't be taught in college because there's no fear of the Lord taught in college. Has everybody got it? That's intellectual wisdom. But there is a wisdom comes from above that brings the reverence of God. Reverence, honor, respect is known as fear. First enter almighty reverence. Psalm 33. And you know, that's one of the things you look for always with an individual. That's a fruit that you look for always. Whether there is a reverence to the Lord. If there is a fear. Because if there's not a fear of the Lord in an individual, you can't trust them. They are unstable. Psalm 33, is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Let's speak it together. Verse 8. Let all the earth what? Fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to what? Nothing. Oh, we have our own counsel. We have our own understanding. But if reverence isn't attached to it, then we better be careful. The Lord brings counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of peoples of what? No effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Blesses the nations whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance. You know, we are in His inheritance. So what's He looking for? Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let them what? First enter almighty reverence. Fear. Again, there is lost fear right now. That's what God is trying to restore. That's why there's a lot of more praise and worship going up, because His presence should bring fear. If His presence is not bringing fear, then your heart is hardened and you are rejecting. Proverbs 14. Is everybody there? Proverbs 14, verse 16. Let's speak it together. Hallelujah. What does it say? A wise man, a person who is a wise man has what? Wisdom. And it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay. A wise man fears and what? Departs from evil. Wow. But a fool rages and is what? Self-confident. Oh, man, I'm okay. I can just do whatever the Lord will. You know the Lord knows. You know what I mean. Oh, no, no. No. There's that lost reverence, lost fear. In Psalm 19, this generation that has manifested has many broken families. Many broken families. And these broken families are broken because of no fear of the Lord. You know, everybody's trying to blame everything else and even try to blame the government. But the government is filled with offsprings of broken families. So there's no reverence to God. You know, it's proven statistics that many broken families, and then in the broken family, the parent is addicted or whatever, and it goes down the family line. So a child only knows how to survive according to what the example has been placed. You know, we were out there at this event, and this woman that was from Romania, she asked me, "What are you doing out here?" That's a good question. And I shared with her some of the things, and she said, "Well, how are you going to do that?" I said, "I'm going to tell you, then you're going to be the example that's going to tell somebody else, then you're going to be, that person's going to be example and tell somebody else." This is how it starts. Because she kept questioning, "How are you going to do this? How are you going to rescue this? How are you going to do this?" I said, "You know what? You're going on like the 10th, 20th step before you even finish the first." And then she told me how she came to this country and whatever and her hard life. And but I said, "You know what? You're either going to promote it or reject it. You're going to demote it, you and I, and what we do." See, that's why we've come out of the family line of broken families. We've come out of all of the stuff of religious being handed down, witchcraft and sorcery, and all the garbage that comes in with inheritance, so that we can come out, because they've all rejected the fear, they've all had lost fear, so that you and I can come into the arena of restored fear of the Lord. So that you and I could be the example. So that we could be the witness and share with next person. That's up to them whether they receive it or not. But as long as you maintain that stability, you will be an example and a witness of whatever you're going through to somebody else. And they'll realize that you don't laugh at their dirty jokes. They're going to realize that you don't cooperate with the things of ungodly things. Because you're sanctified. You're maintaining your sanctification because of your honor and reverence to Him. You don't touch those things that are unclean. You don't put those things before your eyes. You don't put them in your ears. You keep yourself clean and separated and preserved because you are His inheritance. And you're maintaining that honor. In Psalm 19 and verse 9, would you read it with me? The fear of the Lord is what? Clean. It's what? Clean. It's not dirty. It's clean. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So understand, when there's that reverence, that first entering almighty reverence in our life, where the fear of the Lord is in our life, you want to be clean. You don't want to be dirty. You don't want to have any blemishes whatsoever because the fear of the Lord is there. And when there's something that rubs on you that is dirty, you cleanse right away. Is everybody okay? Psalm 36. Lost fear. We see it all over. So if you're an individual that's lost fear, can God trust you? No. Isn't that what is everything about? Don't we want to earn God's trust? Isn't it in that area that we want to please Him? I mean, come on. That's what this is all about, isn't it? We want to please Him because we love Him. Because He first loved us. Because we know we have a mission and that this is not our home. This is temporary. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 36 and verse 1, read it with me. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is what? No fear of God before His eyes. For He flatters. In other words, He speaks whatever. Flatters Himself in His own eyes. When He finds out His iniquity and when He hates. In other words, He justifies and makes excuses and doesn't care. The words of His mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be what? Wise. Well, wait a minute. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. So He's lost fear, hasn't He? He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on His bed. He sets Himself in a way that is not good, and He does not abhor evil or reject evil. He approves it. Why? Because He has lost the fear of the Lord. He makes excuses for it. Does everybody understand that? No fear of God, lost fear. What happens is the individual becomes unstable. Unstable. Psalm 82. Anybody, you ever been around somebody who's unstable? Because they have no fear of the Lord. Now, they may say they do. They may act like they do. But their fruits will always show. Fear of the Lord, one of the fruits of a fear of the Lord is to be humble. Submissive. Not to prove yourself, because you're already proven. Not to prove that you're right, because nobody here is right. None of us. There's only one right. Amen. Psalm 82 and verse 5. Let's speak it together. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are what? Unstable. Why? Because there is lost fear. Unstability. A person will be fine one day and goofy the next. They're up and down. You never know what they're going to do. You can't trust them. They're unstable. Because there's lost fear. They say one thing and do another. 2 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 8. Would you read it with me? Oh, wait a minute. I'm in 1 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse something. Verse 14. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which what? Untaught and unstable people do what? Twist. They twist the word without understanding it. Because of why? Lost fear. Twist to their own destruction as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. So what happens, unstable individuals, unstable souls who either don't believe or lose the fear of the Lord, they take the word and they twist it because there's no understanding. And they try to utilize it either to reject God, try to disprove God, or prove themselves. So everybody got this? Because they're what? Unstable. And they have lost the what? Fear of the Lord. And James chapter 1. Look at in verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, if you lack wisdom and you're asking it from the Lord, if there is no fear of the Lord there, can you receive the wisdom? No. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith. Faith. Oh. In other words, asking the what? Fear of the Lord. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Maybe this is why God holds things back sometimes. Because that person has lost the fear of the Lord. He is double-minded. Everyone say double-minded. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Instability is one of the fruits of losing the fear of the Lord, lost fear. In Matthew chapter 10, how about a person that's a man-pleaser instead of God-pleaser? Amen. No fear of the Lord. Matthew chapter 10. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 28, what does it say? And do not what? Fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. In other words, exchange your fear of torment for the fear of the Lord. Exchange your fear. Lord, I give you my fear for your fear. Make an exchange. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body, where? In hell. Does everybody understand that? Exchange your fear for his fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. That power, love, and sound mind is the fear of the Lord. Psalm 34. Oh, beautiful. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord when? At all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Let me tell you something. There are people that put praise in their mouth and still don't fear the Lord because the heart's not set towards him. Does everybody understand that? There are people that can still, oh, bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God, and still go out and do stupid stuff because there's no fear held. There's no reverence held. Why? You'll know the fruit. Can you always trust something that comes out of somebody's mouth? Even praise to God. I see a lot of people, yeah, bless the Lord. And I see them do stupid stuff. That ain't the reverence of the Lord. One moment they bless the Lord, the next moment they're cursing. So we want to keep our mouth and our heart united. In verse 4, what does it say? Let's speak it together, okay? I what? I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my what? Fears. What's the first thing he did? Sought the Lord. So when he seeks the Lord, is that showing reverence? Yes. Does that mean he's got fear of the Lord? Yes. Reverence. And he delivered me out of all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his what? Troubles. It's amazing that too many times, the only time we get the fear of the Lord is when we're in trouble. But he's still there for us. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who what? Fear him. How many of y'all want an angel of the Lord? This is a warring angel, man. This angel can kill 180,000 people. Hello. You need a bodyguard? Fear the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Does fear associated with trust? Yes. So if a person doesn't trust God, do they fear the Lord? No way. They're still doing it on their own strength, trusting in their own abilities. That's why the Bible says, seek what? Seek the kingdom first, doesn't it? So isn't that something that needs to be done first? Seek ye the kingdom of God. And it doesn't say in all its material. It says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. Why? Because righteousness is one of the fruits of the fear of the Lord. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. People seeking the kingdom of God and its material. Oh, what you got in that storehouse, Lord? You know what I need. Thanks. You know, how about, where's the righteousness? That righteousness will not be manifested without the fear of the Lord. First enter what? A mighty reverence. Fear. Then all things will be added to you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no what? There is no what? What's that word want mean? Lack. Hello? There is no lack to those who what? Fear him. No lack. In other words, all of your needs are met. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Look at this. Keep your stinking tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good and seek what? Peace. Go to verse 19 for a second. What does it say? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Hallelujah. Why are you being afflicted? Well, doesn't the enemy want to get you out of righteousness? Doesn't he want to get you to a place where you don't fear the Lord anymore? But the Lord delivers them out of all of them. All of them. Yes. Go to Psalm 33 for a second and verse 18. Psalm 33, 18. Let's speak it together. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who what? Woohoo! Who fear Him, who reverence Him, who what? First enter almighty reverence. The eyes of the Lord are on that person. On those who hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Does everybody see that? Praise God. I love that sound. It's just awesome. Proverbs 3. So we first must seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen? These are the first. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God. That means you're going to have to humble yourself. Well, that's one of the fruits of the fear of the Lord, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 3. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 7, what does it say? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. There's something that we first must maintain. One of the things that we got to have is a willing mind. We must have a willing desire to want to please Him. We must have a willing desire. That's something that you as a person individually must grab hold of. You know what, Lord? I want to reverence You. Teach me how to reverence You. Teach me. Allow the fear of the Lord to be in every part of my life and every decision and everything that I do. You know, you ask those things. You're asking according to His will, not according to your own pleasures. You're going to find out when you ask according to His will, some of your pleasures are going to be removed. You don't have to cast down those pleasures. They'll be removed. Those stumbling block pleasures. Hello? Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And verse 2. Revelation 2, verse 2. It says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who do evil, or who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them to be liars. You have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my namesake, and they have not become weary. Well, that sounds like a good place. Sounds all good, doesn't it? Well, look what he says. Nevertheless, this I have against you, that you have left your first love. You cannot maintain your first love without the fear of the Lord. That's what maintains your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from where its place, from its place, unless you repent. That lampstand is the anointing. That's where people don't even realize that the anointing is lifting from them, and they're walking in the flesh in their own strength now. They don't even know it's been lifted from them. In Psalm 147. I want to be where the anointing is, don't you? And we want to carry the anointing, don't we? Well, if there is no fear of the Lord, can the anointing abound? No. The anointing will not abide in a place where there's no fear of the Lord. You'll walk in your own strength. Oh, you'll have goosebumps by familiar spirits. Because they replace the anointing like that. They wait for that moment. And that familiar spirit will come in and say, hi, I'm the anointing. Oh, go to scripture such and such. This is good. Oh, but that's okay. You can do that behind closed doors. God knows. See, it removes the fear of the Lord. Somebody get this. Listen, there is lost fear. These spirits come in and want to exchange the fear of the Lord to the fear of man, to fear of losing something, to the fear of losing your life. You start fighting for your life instead of fighting for His. Psalm 147. We do stupid stuff then. Then you got to get hit by that truck, you know. All glory. Are you ready for this? Verse 11. Can you handle this? Okay, let's speak this together. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him. You want to please Him? Fear Him. And those who hope in His mercy. I'm going to close it. Ecclesiastes 12. Lost fear. This is a generation of the return of the Lord. And there's a generation here that also has lost the fear of the Lord. Ecclesiastes. It's right after Proverbs. Chapter 12. Is everybody there? In verse 13. Let's speak it together. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commands, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The end. Lost fear. Let's get revelation and get restored fear of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask for Your forgiveness, Lord, for rejecting the fear of the Lord. Lord, every one of us in here today, Father, and ask that You will restore to us the fear of the Lord, that the fruits of righteousness and trust can be established, that we be loose from instabilities and foolishness and selfishness and self-pleasing and man-pleasing, but get into a place where we are God-pleasers because of the fear of the Lord. First, enter almighty reverent fear. Lord, we thank You, and I want to thank everyone here today. And I pray that everyone be imparted with this seed. Let it be protected by the blood and grow and bear fruit for Your glory, and that they may walk uprightly in the fear of the Lord as witnesses to those who do not carry the fear. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.